Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Samach Tait Amud Aleph by the two dots. Kufa, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gazal v'lo nityashu abalim. If a person steals something and the balim have yet to give up hope of recovering it, shnehem enan yecholim lagdish. Rabbi Yochanan says that neither of them have the power now to magdish the object. Zeh lefi she'enu shelo, the ganav, because it doesn't belong to him. Zeh lefi she'enu birshuto. And the Baalim can't do it because they do not have control over it. They lack the ability to access the item. Even though they own it, they lack reshut. And so each one of them has that deficit which prevents them from being makdish the item. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Can Rabbi Yochanan really say this? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha kistam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says, we have a principle in Rabbi Yochanan's name throughout Sha'as, that halacha is like a stam mishnah, but it's not. And now we have a Stam Mishnah. What's interesting about the Stam Mishnah, it's the Mishnah that we actually brought yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf with regards to the Tznuim. This is the beginning of that Mishnah. It's the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, Perek Hei, Mishnah Aleph, and this is the beginning of that Mishnah Aleph, which ended up with the quote that we had yesterday in the Tznuim. Kerem Revai, Hayu Mitzayinim Oto, Bekazot Adama. When it comes to Kerem Revai, items that are in their fourth year, which require one to redeem them and then take them up to Yerushalayim, then Hayu Mitzayinim Oto, they used to delineate it, mark it, because Zot Adama, through putting clods of earth over there. Now whether those are just regular clods of earth, or whether it's some sort of clayish earth, but they used to put that around in order to demarcate this area as being an area that is Riva'ai. Now, the reason to do this is so that people who are coming to take from these fruits will know that they are Riva'ai and they would redeem them. Simana, this is an introduction of the Gemara in the middle of the Mishnah. The reason that we use this as the sign for the fact that this is Riva'ai is Ki Adama, similar to the earth. Ma Adama ikahanamina, just like earth, you get benefit from it. As Rashi notes over here, it's not immediate benefit, but rather delayed benefit, because you are Choresh, Zoreya, Bekotzer. This item too has a delayed benefit because you have to first redeem it, and after you redeemed it, then you can get benefit from it. So that's why these kozuzot adama were used as the siman for the fact that this kerem or this fruit orchard is Rivai. Vishel orla, items that are orla, meaning the fruits in their first 3 years, bicharasit. They used to use charetzit. Rashi says those are ketutei afim, which means those are clay tiles that have been crushed or pulverized. That's one explanation. Bali Tosafot have an issue with that explanation of Rashi, because they say in other places we see that chashiv charesit ulevenak dusha. It mentions charesit and then a crushed brick, which seems to indicate that the two are different items. And therefore the alternate options of what charesit are is either it is some sort of infertile earth that you cannot grow anything in it, or the source from which you, raw materials from which you make the clay pottery. The Rambam in the Perashah Mishnayot indicates that it's some sort of chemar saruf. Others suggest that it is the source from which you make tit. But all of them share this common denominator, which is that you can't grow anything in it, and also that the item has a certain amount of lasting power in order to demarcate the area for a long duration because of the seriousness of the Isur Orla here. And the reason for that is Simana. Again, here's an interjection of the Gemara, Kecharasit, that this is just like Charasit. Ma Charasit Shein Hana'amina, just like by Charasit, you do get no benefit from it. Avhai Delepe Hana'amina. So too, this is something that you will not get benefit from. The reason being that Charasit, according to the Gemara here, is something that is not fertile. You're unable to plant in it and have give forth production. Bala Tosafot deal with the fact that it seems in other places that charesit is productive. And so Teretz Rabbeinu Tam, the charesit zorim bo matzmiach. If you plant in it, stuff will grow. Aveinu motziah kedei nefilah. It does not give you back what you put in. And the man of seeds that you seeded into the ground do not equal the production that comes in afterwards. Or in essence, you lose more in your seeding than you're going to get back in that which you grow. It's not very fertile. It's not the type of earth that you'd want to plant in. Because of it, something that's an indication of lack of hana'ah, so too it symbolizes or delineates areas that are orla, which are asurim behana'ah. Now, Bali Tosafot point out over here already that there seems to be interesting order in the Mishnah. The Mishnah first talks about riva'ai and then orla. In reality, it's just the opposite. The first 3 years of the tree are orla, and then after it's riva'ai. So then why did the Mishnah just bring it in the order of the process by which you have a tree that has Orla in the first 3 years and then Karamvai. There are different answers given. The most interesting answer is that of the Rosh, who says that the reason being is because of the Mishnah itself. These are Mishnayot and Maisur Sheni. Karamvai, which we know is, we're going to see at the end of today's daf as well, something that's Hukash, or has a Gzereshova to Maisur Sheni. So that's the topic of the Masechta. So you want to look at the topic of the Masechta, that gets mentioned first, that gets the main press, and that's why Kerem Avai is first, and then it backtracks and deals with Orla after that. We're going to continue with the Mishnah. The Shelkva wrote that graves, they used to demarcate besid with lime. Simana, the sign here is, again, interjection of the Gemara, the chivar ka'atzamot, it's white like bones. Umemache b'shofech, and he spreads it out and pours liquid into it to whiten it. That it's super white in order to, again, delineate areas of tum'ah, areas that have atzamot in them. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, b'med varim amurim, when is this true? B'shvi'it, the hefker ninhu. That is true in the shvi'it when there's hefker, because then there is somewhat of a responsibility on the ba'alim. Even though now the field is open and anybody can come and take what they want, nevertheless, there are trees, there are items of Orla, of Kerem Revai, and it's appropriate for the owners to indicate which are which, so that people are not nichsholim, that they don't make mistakes in what they take when it comes to the hefker of Shvi'it. Aval, b'shar shnei shavua, in the remainder of the years, which are not Shvi'it, which means that anybody who takes from this field is a thief, we say, haliteo l'rashavi amut, let them feed it to the evil one and let him die. That he chose to steal something, why do we have to protect the thief? Well, if he wants to steal, then it's coming to him that he's taking Orla or Kerem Revai, he's violating these Isurim because he shouldn't have been taking it in the first place. V'atznuim, this is what we quoted in yesterday's daf. V'atznuim enichim et amaot v'omrim. The tznuim leave over the monies and they say, kol anilkat mizeh mechula l'amaot alalu. Anything that's collected from this field will be redeemed on this money. Here, the Baalei Tosfot raised what I mentioned yesterday, which is, it's not clear here what the Tznuim are modifying. Are they modifying Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who says, are they modifying the Shvi'it and saying, on the Shvi'it, this was their practice? Or is this modifying not the Shvi'it, but rather the Shar Shnei HaShavua? The other years, when it is theft, they still, the Tznuim did this in order to protect against people from doing the wrong thing, even though they were stealing from them. The Rambam takes up the approach that this is referencing to the Shvi'it, whereas the Baalei Tosafot, you can see over here, say that the Tznuim Asher Shnei Shavua Kaimi. They're going on the other parts of the Shemitah cycle. Here's the question, or the steer within Rabbi Yochanan. If Rabbi Yochanan making a statement which says that when something is not in your control, then you cannot be Makdishit. Now he said that we also have another memra from Rabbi Yochanan which says Halacha Kistam Mishnah. This Stam Mishnah which just read from Maaser Sheni, that Mishnah has the story of the Tznuim at the end, and that din of the Tznuim that's mentioned at the end indicates that you have the ability to redeem something that is not in your possession. Which is, these Tznuim are saying, when the Aniyim come and take from this field, or these people steal from this field, depending if you think it's Shvi'it or not, then whatever is picked is redeemed on the monies that I've set aside for this purpose. Now, how can they redeem something when the Ani or the other individual just walked off with the item? He might own it, the Baalim, but certainly he doesn't have control over it. And that lack of control, according to Rabbi Yochanan, should make it that you can't be Makdishit, or you can't be Mechalel, you can't redeem it. The fact that the Mishnah allows you to redeem the item, even though it's not in front of you, even though it's in the possession of someone else, indicates that control is not determinant in these areas. We dealt with yesterday why you can compare Chilul to Hekdesh, and why there's a good reason to assume that the halacha is this way here should also impact on the halacha in the areas of Hekdesh. So now we have a steer within Rabbi Yochanan that causes us a problem. So Gemara says, if you want to say who's the author of the Tznuim Deya within the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Meaning that we see the statement of the Tznuim not as a new Tana, but rather a continuation of the words of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel spoke in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, b'med derim mamurim. Then he talked about Shvi'it. And then, maybe, he also made the further statement in the Mishnah, which is the Tznuim. So then, if you do that, you have attribution in the Mishnah. If you have attribution in the Mishnah, it's not a Stam Mishnah anymore. The only problem with that is, V'am Rabba Barbarchanam Rabbi Yochanan, Komakom Shishana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mishtatenu Alacha Kimoto. That doesn't help you because Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that anytime Rabbi Shimon Gamliel appears in the Mishnah, the Alacha is like him. Which means that for Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't make a difference if it's a Stam Mishnah or Mishnah authored by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. In either case, the Alacha should follow those positions. The only exceptions where he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Echutz Me'arev, Mitzidan, V'raya Achrona. Again, these are sugyot where Rabbi Shimon argues in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan believes that despite the fact that generally the Alacha is like him, in these three instances the Alacha is not like him. So Amre lo teima kol hanilkat mizeh, don't use the terminology kol hanilkat, aleima kol hamitlaket mizeh, but rather you say that which will be picked in the future. So instead of saying that the redemption is taking place after the fact, which means that kol hanilkat mizeh, anything that was picked here, then it will be redeemed, which means that it's left your possession, even though you still own it, it's left your possession. And similarly over here, it says, a kol hanilkat mizeh works. So the Gemara says, no, he meant that to read, kol hamitlaket mizeh, anything that will be picked from here. That already indicates you are redeeming it before it leaves your possession, because you're redeeming it for that which will be picked in the future, and therefore the origins of your chilul come from the moment when you still owned it, and when you were still in possession of it. So unlike the original Lashon, which seemed to indicate that it was happening after the people picked it and walked off with it, that means that you have ownership but lack possession, and nevertheless it's working, the chilul. So therefore the Gemara is in a bind because of that. So Gemara says, no, we amend it to read, kol hamitlaket mizeh, that which will be taken in the future, which means currently it's in your possession. And once you've done that, you solve the problem for Rabbi Yochanan, because now it's no longer saying that it's out of your possession when you're being mechalelet. It's in your possession when you're mechalelet, because you're making the declaration up front about everything that will be taken in the future. If you look in the Palei Tosafot, he answers the question he just asked the Chiyon, which he says, Eima kol mitlakeit, mashma dechal pidyon b'mechuber lekarka. Exactly your point, which is if you are saying that it's going to take effect for that which is picked in the future, that means that pidyon is effective now while it's still attached to the tree. It says v'teima the betosef the mashma dein chilul b'mechubar. So Tosfot says the tosef sounds explicit that you can't do a chilul b'mechubar. So how do I reconcile between the fact that this gemara sounds that you can do b'mechubar, yet the tosef says otherwise that you can't do it b'mechubar? Tosfot in the end rejects the tosef as being a problem, not a mechubar the karka, but rather the endam of yiduim. And it's not clear what the value of the items are. But then in the previous Tosfot, he asks, Vim Tomar, Kevin Sheish Chilu B'mechubar Lekarka, since they can redeem stuff that is affixed to the ground still, Kedemash B'mesamok, Lama Yu Tznuim Dochakim? Why did the Tznuim go to all this trouble? Lama Lo Hayu Mechalalim Kolakarim B'vatachat? They could have just redeemed the whole thing up front and taken care of it. Why do they leave it over? Why do they say in the future when the money is available, when people pick it, it will be redeemed? Just simply say, I'm redeeming everything that's here, but mechubar lekarka. Maybe they weren't to be mekayim, the din of bringing the Kerem Revai up to Yerushalayim physically with the peirot. Therefore, they didn't want to redeem everything up front. Or, inami, shelo hayu moil, lechilul lemashi gadel acharkein. That this would only help for things that are already grown, but would not help for things that grow after that point in time. Then he says, well, if that's the case, vim tomar ki kamar kolamit lakeit, then even with using the lashon of that which it will be collected in the future will be redeemed, that also doesn't work for things that are growing afterwards. Whatever they could do, they did. Maybe the remainder would be batel berov. Even though generally a davar sheish l'manim afilu be'elef lo batel, we say it's not batel, even a 1,000 to 1. But mina Torah, the case is that it is batel, and therefore we don't have to worry about those things that will grow in the future. And the Gaon Rauschenberg says that maybe even by the case of Davar Sheyesh Matirim is only not batel when it's a Davar Nikar, and it's obvious and clear what the item is. Over here, it's batel because you can't distinguish or discern the item that grew after versus the item that grew beforehand. So the Balei Tosafot say in the end, enochanami, that you can't be mechalel, something that is mechubar the karka. And for technical reasons, whether it's their desire to bring the fruits themselves up to Yerushalayim or the future growth, they didn't go about doing it in this manner. Whereas the Rambam does not think that. The Rambam thinks that if it's mechuba the karka, there's no way you can be mechalelet. There's no way that you can redeem it. Tosavot also asks, with regard to the original lashon of the Mishnah of kol anilkat mizeye mechulao, he says, Tema, matay omrim etzeh. When did they say this? Everything that is taken off will be mechulao. Because anything that is picked after you say this won't help. Because this is a backwards-looking statement that says anything that was picked will be mechulao. And what are you going to say? That they said it every evening. After the day was finished, they made this declaration. That would help for things that were picked that day, but will not help. There are things that were already picked and eaten and are already gone already. So, Vomari, the kol anilkat lav davka mamash achar lekita. It says kol anilkat. It doesn't mean literally they said it after it was picked. Amaniach ma'ot ba'od shlo nilkat. They put the money down before anything was picked. Vomer, kerem vayzeh lekishi anilkat. When in the future it will be picked, yeh mechulal achar lekita. It will be mechulal after it's already picked. And in that way, he solves the problem about how exactly this functions and whether why they don't have to say it all the time. Because they put it in motion. But the way that it actually works is that it only redeems things after they have been picked. And that's the problem with the kol anilkat. And that's why the Gemara is opting to try to change the lashon to kol hamitplakeit, which is an indication of the future, meaning that it's redeemed now before it will be picked. Can Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Rabbi Yochanan, Tznuim, v'Rabbi Dosa amru davar echad. The Tznuim and Rabbi Dosa said one thing. Rabbi Dosa, and what did Rabbi Dosa say? Nilkat kamar. He says nilkat, meaning that when Rabbi Yochanan equates the position of the Tznuim to Rabbi Dosa, then the terminology that Rabbi Dosa uses is the word nilkat, which is akin to the original language that we had in the Mishnah, not the amended language in the Mishnah, the Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shechrit Balabait Omeid V'Omer. In the morning, the Balabait gets up and says, Kol Shiyil Kutu Aniim Hayom Yai Hefker. Whatever the Aniim take today will be Hefker. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Lutute Erev Omer. At the end of the day, he comes around and says, Kol Shiyil Kutu Aniim Yai Hefker. Anything that the Anim already had collected will be Hefker. So now the scenario here, or the case here, as Rashi describes it, is a case Leket. When it comes to Leket, we know that if the worker, the Balim, that goes through the field, drops things while he's working, then if he dropped two items, that is called Leket. If he drops more than two, if he drops three items, it's no longer called Leket, and technically the Anim are not entitled to it. The problem is that, first of all, not all the Anim are Bikiyim in the Halacha. Number two is, not all of the aniim care necessarily, and they might be taking it even when it's three that falls instead of two. So the solution to the problem, which is what's being suggested over here, is that what the balabait can do is be mafkir the produce that the aniim take if they take something that is not leket. The reason to do this, again, is because leket is patur mitrumot and maser. Things that are not leket would be chayav and shumah maser. So in order to prevent there from being a problem for the aniim, what the balaim preemptively did was say, listen, I'm going to be mafkir anything that the aniim take that they're not really entitled to. Because if he's mafkir it, hefker is also patur mimaser. So then he solves the problem by mafkir it. So the balabai does this in order basically to save the aniim. The machloket we have here between Rabbi Dosa and Rabbi Yehuda is when you make the statement. Rabbi Yehuda says you make the statement in the morning. You say, kol shiyil kutu aniim ayom. Anything that will be picked today will be hefker. On the other hand, Rabbi Dosa says you do it at the end of the day, and kol shelak do ani, what the anim already collected, that you are mafkir. But you see that the language that Rabbi Dosa uses, first of all, is kol shel nilkat, similar to that which we saw in our the Mishnah and Maaser Sheni, before the Gemara amended the language. And the reason here, by leket, as well as by the Mishnah and Maaser Sheni, that the balim are not mafkir, or poder these things up front is because they don't want to give the impression that they are mafkir their field or they're giving permission for people to come in here and collect that which doesn't belong to them. After the fact, they're willing to do something to protect those that took by accident or unintentionally. But what they don't want to do is up front make it hefker so that anybody who wants can come and take leket or anybody who wants can come and take these items that are kerem revai. And therefore, Tosafot over here says, "V'tzarach lamar, the balabait ain mityayish." That the balabait over here is not mityayish from their quote-unquote leket, which is things that are not really leket, but the anim are picking, or the Kerem Rivai, which passerbys are picking or taking, even though they're not supposed to be. Tosfot at first wants to prove this from the fact that if there was Yeush, it'd be Yeush Midat, and then you wouldn't need the Hefker over here. He backs away from that, saying that the Yeush over here is different on two levels. One is, if the Baalim had Yeush over here, it would actually turn the item into a gift, a matana, rather than Hefker, and that would be Chayav and Maser, as well as the fact that Yeush is only with regards to the Aniim and not necessarily the Yashirim. And therefore, it wouldn't help over here because in order for it to be Patur and Maser, you need Hefker min Aniim and Ashirim. And therefore, even if the Baalim had Yeush over here, it would not be sufficient, even though Tosafot believes that the Baalim do not have Yeush over here. Right, so then the Gemara says, Epoch to Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Dosa. No problem. We'll just flip the positions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa. If we do that, then Rabbi Dosa has the position of Rabbi Yehuda that you says it about the future. And that would match with our amended reading of the Mishnah from Maaser Sheni. Rabbi Dosa, Rabbi Yehuda, and then we'll flip Rabbi Dosa, Rabbi Yehuda. Amai apacht matnita. Why would you flip a brighta? Abchol Rabbi Yochanan. Flip Rabbi Yochanan's position. Why would you flip a brighta to fix the positions of Rabbi Yochanan? Flip Rabbi Yochanan's position himself, because Rabbi Yochanan's an Amora. Why would you flip a brighta on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan? Ve'ema, and say this. Snuim, v'Rabbi Yehuda amru davar achad. And have it be in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that not the Tznuim and Rabbi Dosa, but rather the Tznuim and Rabbi Yehuda said one thing. Amre lo sagi delomitapach matnita. You have to flip the brighta, irrespective of Rabbi Yochanan. Debaha matnitan katani deitle Rabbi Yehuda breira. Because from here, it makes it sound like that Rabbi Yehuda has breira. Rabbi Yehuda says you're making the declaration in the morning in this brighta. And in that making the declaration in the morning, you are saying that anything that is picked by the Aniim, or anything that is taken by the Aniim that's not leket, will be patur maser, because I'm a mafkirit. But then you don't know when you're mafkirit up front, you don't know what the Aniim are going to take and what's going to be hefker. That is only determined later in the day through breira. That means that Rabbi Yehuda has to hold a breira. V'shemenin le Rabbi Yehuda ba'alma delet le breira. But we have evidence to the contrary in other places that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a breira. That's not. We have a Mishnah, again, a Mishnah that's found many times in Shas. We've spoken about it lately in the Gemara in Gittin. The lokeach yayin miben kutin. Someone who purchases wine from the kutim. So now, the kutim over here, you have to deal with why the scenario here is the kutim. One of them you have to understand or assume is that these kutim, at that point in time, were either deemed to be geri emet, or for whatever reason, we had permission to buy from the kutim, because otherwise, the chachamim were gozer on the kutim, that they have a din with the guards to the wine, that it's tam yenom. And he wouldn't be able to drink the Yain Kutim anyway. So it has to be in a position or period of time where they did drink the Yain Kutim. That's number one. Number two is the Kutim are distinct from the Ame Haaretz, because by an Ame Haaretz, we have a belief that the Ame Haaretz in general, or the majority of times, takes off Truma and Maser. And therefore, we're talking about a Safek Hafrashav Truma to Maser. But anyway, you're talking about a Kuti, you're talking about someone who didn't do any of those items, meaning that for sure we know this is Tevel Vadai, because the Kuti didn't take anything off, was not Mafrish anything at all. Most of that comes from the position of the Kutim. Even though they generally kept halachot, that they did keep better than Bnei Yisrael, especially those who are explicit in the Torah, and they should have kept this Truma and Maser, nevertheless, they don't keep these halachot, because they only believe that you have to keep the halachot when you eat it yourself. But when you give it to someone else, you don't have to keep those halachot, because they don't hold the lifnei iver lo titen michshol. And so that's the problem here. They sold you this item. And so now we can assume that this is tevel vadai. But you're in a bind now because you're entering, as Rashi says, be'erev Shabbat ben ha-shmashot. An erev Shabbat during the twilight time. And now you have this yayin, you want to be able to use it on Shabbat, but you can't because it's tevel. So what do? Omer, in this predicament, in this difficult situation, this is what he does. Omer, shnei lugim shani atid afrish, or yein shuma. The two log that I'm going to take off in the end, assuming that this is 100 log, then two log, the 2% that I'm going to take off in the future, which is 1/50th, will be shuma gdola. Asara maser rishon, 10 will be maser rishon. Again, Tosafot and Gittin points out that 10 is wrong, it really should be 9.8. Because after you take off 2 of shuma gdola, you're left with 98. So 10% is 9.8 here, just for ease. It's all rounded. Tet Maaser Sheni, 9 for Maaser Sheni, which is also a rounded number. Umeichal. Rashi claims Umeichal means you redeem it on Malut Maaser Sheni. And that is because, Rashi says, the Madi Yeshlo Pnai L'Takein, Whatever he has the opportunity to fix, itakein, he should fix it. Because he can solve this problem simply by saying something that's not an activity or an action here, Benishmashot. That's the way Rashi explains it. The difficulty in Rashi's pshat is this mechal, the ability to redeem Maisur Sheni, is only once you've designated or delineated the Maisur Sheni in a particular location. You can't just be put there Maisur Sheni that it just doesn't exist or is mixed up with other items. And therefore the problem here for Rashi's interpretation is, how are you being mechal? How are you redeeming the Maisur Sheni over here if we never delineated or designated where the Maisur Sheni is? That's number one. Number two is, your Benishmashot. Benishmashot on Shabbat, there we have dispensations with regards to the Demai. But when it comes to Tevel Vadai, we are much stricter Benishmashot. And therefore this Inyan of being Podeh Maisur Sheni, or even segregating or delineating the Maisur Sheni, we would not allow you to do. Again, that would prevent you from being able to redeem the Maisur Sheni. Therefore, the Rishonim come up with alternatives to what the word Mechal means. Balei Tosafot and Gittin brings that Mechal comes to the word Lahachil or Hechil HaNegev. It began. It's starting. Well, Mechal here means you can start to drink it right then. That's what Mechal means. Or that Rabbeinu Tam said it means Umohel, that he mixes it, which means to dilute. And so you can dilute the wine and begin to drink it. So not Mechal in terms of redemption, but Mechal means you can either, you can go ahead. We have the information we need. Vishotemiyat, you can drink right away. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osrim. They all say it's problematic. So what you see here, or at least the Havamina of the Gemara is, here the Gemara never moved off of this Havamina. In other places in Shas, the Gemara does. But over here, it sounds like Rabbi Meir believes the reason you can do this is because of Breira. Because Lemafreya, we know what you took off after Shabbat when you take off those items. Lemafreya, we know that you took off Shemot Masrot. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osrim makes it sound like they all do not subscribe to this idea of Breira. So now we've proven that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira. How can it be that Rabbi Yehuda's position in the Breita includes a statement that is talking about the future, which is Breira? So that's why the Gemara says we were compelled to flip the Breita, irrespective of what Rabbi Yochanan says over here. Samri, sof, Maika Abchadla Matanitin. Why are you flipping over this Breita? Mishum de Kasha de Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Yehuda. Because you have a steer in Rabbi Yehuda. Hashtanami, Kasha, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. But now we have a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Damar, Rabbi Yochanan, lo tema kola nilkat, ilma lema kola miltakate. You said that the way that we can solve the problem for Rabbi Yochanan is to change the language in the Mishnah from kola nilkat to kola miltakate. Alma, itle breira. If you wanted to change the language that way, that shows you that Rabbi Yochanan holds a breira. Bah Rabbi Yochanan, like Breira. But we know that Rabbi Yochanan does not hold a Breira. Damar Rabasiyam Rabbi Yochanan, Achim Shechalku L'Kuchotein. Brothers that split up or divide up the estate, they are not considered to be the Yorshim of the estate, but rather simply they are buyers from each other. Since we don't know what belongs to whom, the only way for us to deal with it is to say that they are considered to be buyers of each other. They are transacting or trading the property that they got that belonged to the other brother. But that shows you that they're not Lemafreyor, there's no Breira over here. And since each one of the Yoshim received property, we just don't know which property belongs to whom. When we do subdivide the estate, we're not necessarily dividing it along the lines of what Yerusha belongs to each individual. And therefore, it's really almost like a barter of the different pieces, and that's why they're deemed to be Lukuchot according to Rabbi Yochanan. Makzirin zel zel beyovel. And for that reason, it goes back in the Ovel because it's a purchased item. So that Gemara says, now I have a problem, because even Rabbi Yochanan, I have this stira within Rabbi Yochanan now because of Breira, based on what we're saying. Elul olam kol nilkat. Leave it the way it was. The language in the Mishnah, leave it as kol nilkat. Rabbi Yochanan stam achrina ashkach. Rabbi Yochanan found a different stam Mishnah to help him out. That's none. Ena gonev achara ganav mishalem teshlume kefil. That's our Mishnah. That anybody who steals from a thief does not pay kefil. Amai. Bishlam ala ganav rishon lo mishalem. Clearly, he doesn't pay the first ganav. The second thief doesn't pay the first thief, kefel, because it says, "Gunavi beit ha'ish v'lo beit ha'ganav." That's the pasuk tells us. That has to be stolen from the owner's house and not from the house of the ganav. Elo lebalim nishalem. But maybe he should have to pay the second ganav, should have to pay kefel to the balim. Elav shmina. Why do you not say that? Zeh lefi she'eino shelo, v'zeh lefi she'eino birshuto. The reason that you don't pay kefel over here is because neither party has a real enough or strong enough ownership over here to demand payment from you or to get kefo from you. The ganav, because it's not his. And the balim, the fish ain't over shuto, because it's not in their possession. Now, what's interesting over here, the Tosfot Reed points out, is that it says here, mi gunav mi beit ha'ish. So here, it's actually defining the word bayit as well by ganav. So it's not simply that the gneva is an example of something she'eno b'shuto, but the gneva here says migunav mi beit ha'ish. It also has this definition of bayit here as well. And in doing so, and telling you in that definition that beito, subsumed in beito, means both ownership and control. Mar says, okay, so now you found two stam mishnas. One stam mishnah that says, stam mishnah of tztuim, which says when it's enu b'shuto, you have the ability to mechalel it. And I have another one that says when it's enu b'shuto, you don't have the ability to work with it. So Mar says, okay, so now you found another stam mishnah that supports Rabbi Yochanan's contention that when something's not in your possession or it's not yours, you can't be makdishit. My chazita is a butter high stam, ave ki high stam. You have two stam mishnas. Why are you following this stam mishnah versus the stam mishnah of tztuim? It says, I stam of tztuim, or why don't you follow the stam of tztuim? Mishum de misayle kra. The pasuk helps out this situation. Because it says in the pasuk, ish ki yakdish e beito kodesh lashem, ma beito birshuto, avko birshuto. Just like your house is in your possession, so too, things that are in your possession. So that is Rabbi Yochanan's view that you need both ownership and possession in order to be able to do anything with it. And therefore, Yishki Yagdishit Beito, Kodesh Lashem, when a person wants to be Makdish something, it has to be like his house, where he has both ownership and control over the item. And that is supportive of Rabbi Yochanan's contention over here. And again, the Pasuk has the word Beito in it. So again, we're defining what Beito means in this context. And then Rashi says, wait a minute. So you just solved the problem for Rabbi Yochanan in terms of Breira, or the Stira within Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's going to hold like another Stam Mishnah, and he's going to get out of all of his problem by holding like this other Stam Mishnah. What about the fact that we just left Rabbi Yehuda hanging? Rabbi Yehuda says there is Breira in our case by the case of the Leket, and over there by the case of the Lokeach Yaimi Ben Akutim, he says there is no Breira. So how do we reconcile that? Rashi says the Gemara everywhere else in Shas ends a little differently. And that is that the Gemara every Wilson Shah says that it's really not because of Breira. It's not because of lack of believing in Breira. They do not allow it. But rather, it comes because of Shema Yibaka Nod. That Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon over there worry about the fact that the flask in which you're keeping the residual items that will become the Truma and the Maser and everything that you're supposed to give, we're afraid that that might burst. If that bursts, then retroactively everything you ate until that point was Tevel. So because of that fear, they don't want you using this methodology or mechanism for getting the yayin. But that way we can solve, as Rashi says, the stira in Rabbi Yehuda, without having to flip anything or change anybody's opinion. So now, Amar Abaye, we're going to have statements here from the Amoraim, similar statements about this position of Rabbi Yochanan, which is, Amar Abaye, Ilav Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tznuim, Rabbi Dosa, Amru Dvar Achad, had not been for the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said that Tznuim and Rabbi Dosa share a common halachic position, Havamina, I would have thought Tznuim did lay Rabbi Dosa. The Tznuim hold the Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa late laid the Tznuim, but the Rabbi Dosa doesn't hold the Tznuim. Tznuim eat little the Rabbi Dosa. The Tznuim hold the Rabbi Dosa. Umami Ganav Avdu Rabbanon Takanto. By the Ganav, where the Rabbanon put in place a Takana in order to protect him and saying that, okay, we're going to allow you to be Mechalel this stuff on behalf of this Ganav in order to protect him. Then Takanto Neim Tzrichalam Eimar. When it comes to helping out the Aniyim, of course they would do something like this. Of course, Chazal would have instituted something for their protection. Rabbi Dosa lately did Tznuim. On the other hand, Rabbi Dosa will not hold the Tznuim. Aniyim Uda Abdulu Rabbanan Takanta. This whole Takana only helps by the Aniyim, and that's what they did. Of a Ganav, Lo Abdulu Rabbanan Takanta. By a Ganav, they're not going to put in place a Takana to protect them or to take care of them, because it's a Ganav. And so, yes, I think that they did protect the Aniyim. I didn't think that they protected the Ganavim. So what you would suggest here, based on this, this would have been the Havamina. Had it not been for Rabbi Yochanan equated the two positions, is that the positions rely on this Takana de Rabbanan. They revolve around whether you apply or don't apply a Takana de Rabbanan. And therefore, this would not be a question on Rabbi Yochanan, because there is no fundamental din being proposed over here, which is the way the Baal Tosa would say, "V'lo min ha'din el machmat takanahu du kumei rabbanan b'shutei lechalel ulhafkir Shelo kashlu aniyim veganav. It's a particular takana, but not a fundamental din, and then it wouldn't be a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand, once you equate them and say that that's not the case, then you are suggesting that they have some fundamental halachic reason between them, or shared between them, that allows them to do this over here. And that's what it means. That's Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush. Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush is, don't just think this is a takana de Rabbanan, but rather this is a real din. And that halachic din is now shared by Rabbi Dosa and the Tznuyim, which is that you have the ability to be makdish, something that she'enu birshuto. And that shared item is this fundamental halacha, and not, the Baal HaTos would say, v'lo by the meimar linyan breira dafka kamar devar echad tevayu leit lehu breira. Shere devar echad mashma mash devar echad. Tos would say, don't think that the equation comes to teach you that they both hold a breira, because when Rabbi Yochanan says devar echad, it means one item is the common denominator between them and nothing else. And that common denominator is the fact that you have the right either to be mechalel or mekadesh, something that's not in your reshut. And that's what makes it problematic for Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rava, I love Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tznuyim, Rabbi Dosa Amru Davar Echad. Again, Rabbi Rava makes a similar statement to Abaye. Had Rabbi Yochanan taught us that Tznuyim and Rabbi Dosa have shared a common opinion, Havamina Mantana Tznuyim, Rabbi Meir, I would have thought, who's the author of this position of Tznuyim? It's Rabbi Meir. Lava my Rabbi Meir, didn't Rabbi Meir tell us in the Gemara Kedushin, Maiser Mamon Gavoahu, Maiser Sheini belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning that Maiser Sheini is Kodesh, belongs to Hashem, but our ability to take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it there is Mishuchan Kavoa Kazachu. We are getting a grant or we've been given a gift from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vafilu Achi, despite the fact that Kodesh is owned by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or the Maiser Sheini is owned by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, nevertheless, for redemption, the Torah puts it in his possession to redeem it. So after somebody makes something into Maiser Sheni, technically, according to Rabbi Meir, that belongs to Ekdesh now. Not your problem, not your issue at all. How can you redeem it then? How could you deal with this Maiser Sheni? So that's what it says here, that Ukme Rachmana Bishute. The Torah gave it into his possession. Despite the fact that it didn't belong in his possession, the Torah put it into his possession in order to be mechalel to redeem it. So here the Torah says that if a person redeems his own Maiser Sheni, he adds on a fifth. Well, what do you mean his own Maiser Sheni? According to Rabbi Meir, by definition, there's no Maiser Sheni that's yours. It all belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ella, what you have to say is, Kariya Machmana Masro. The Torah calls it Masro, his Maser. Umosif Chomesh, and you add on a Chomesh, because of the fact that you are technically the Baalim, even though it doesn't belong to you. Even though it belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that would have been the reason behind the Tznuyim as well. Because Maiser Sheni is unique in that manner, which is that Maiser Sheni, even though it's Kodesh and belongs to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, still the Torah put it into your possession. Kerem Vainami, and that's what now we're going to explain, that Kerem Vain is the same thing as Maiser Sheni, Gamar Kodesh Kodesh Mimaser, because you have a Gzereshav of Kodesh Kodesh Mimaser, Ktivacha Kodesh Yilulim Lashem, Revai, Uchtev Gabi Maser, Micho Masar Haaretz, Mizera Haaretz, Mipriyaitz Lashem Hu Kodesh. Ma Kodesh Tichtiv Gabi Maser, Afagav Demamon Gvohu, Dinyan Pdiya Ukmei Rachmanu Birshutei. Just like by Maiser Sheni, we just said that even though it's really owned by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he puts it into your possession in order to redeem it. Avai, Kodesh Nami, so too the Kodesh Nami, Tichtiv Gabi Kerem Revai. That's written by Kerem Revai, has the same meaning. Afagav Delav Mamon Didei, even though it's not yours, sponsor Kodesh Baruch Hu, for your ability to redeem it, the Torah puts it back into your possession. And so too by the Tznuyim. When they come to redeem that Kerem Revai, they can do it, even though technically it's gone already, it belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But nevertheless, they have a right to call it back and redeem it. That means that they have a certain amount of ownership. That ownership grants them the right to be Makdish or be Mechalel the item. Da ki ite birshutei nami. And you're able to redeem it. So even when it is in your possession, it's not yours. Yet the Torah still granted you the right to redeem it. That tells you that your ability to redeem it supersedes the necessity of ownership. And so to Amir, that's why you can be Mechil. Meaning the ability of this individual to be Mechil, to redeem the item, is because of the fact that it's this unique property of Maiser Sheni, or this unique property of Kerem Revai. And therefore, even when it's not in your reshut, even when it's not in your possession, You have a right to redeem it, because your right to redeem it has nothing to do with your ownership, according to Rabbi Meir. And similarly now, if we extend this to the din of the tzuim, the ability of the tzuim to redeem it, even though it's out of their possession, has nothing to do with a fundamental din with regards to Kodesh, but has to do with the unique nature of Meisr Sheni, according to Rabbi Meir, which is that it's an item that is not in your possession, yet the Torah grants you the right of redemption. And that's why the Tznuim, according to Rabbi Meir now, are able to redeem the item, even though it's left their possession. Aval Gabe Leket, Rabbi Dosa's case, which is by Leket, came into Mamona Didei, since it's his money, it's his. Now, the truth is, you didn't have to go that far to say it's his, Balei Tosfot point out, because there's no pasuk that indicates otherwise. That's what he says. Lo etzarech lemeimer ela gabei leket lekakro. There is no pasuk. El Rav Chamilta Nakar. It just did it to enhance or to emphasize the point that by leket it would not be the same din as we would see by Meisr Sheni. Ki ita b'shutehu the matzi mafkele. Therefore, only when it's his possession, he has the ability to redeem it. Kelete b'shutei lo matzi mafkele. But if it's not his possession, he wouldn't be able to redeem it. That would have been my havamina as the difference between Rabbi Dosan and Tznuim. And Rava says that Rabbi Yochanan dispelled that distinction and said that Rabbi Dosa and Tznuim have the same position in the end. And therefore, you can't just say that the reason that the Tznuim say it works is because of its unique properties of Keren Revai or Meisr Sheni, but rather this is something that applies to all items, which is when it's Einu B'Shuto, you still have the ability to deal with it. In the statements of Abai and Rava, it's not clear whether they are simply saying that this statement of Rabbi Yochanan took away the possibilities of interpreting it another way, or they really are arguing on Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation and saying Rabbi Yochanan forced it this way, but we would have learnt it differently than Rabbi Yochanan. And obviously that has nafkamina the halacha as to whether Abai and Rava are arguing Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore we would paskin like them because they are batroth, or they're really just deferring to Rabbi Yochanan and explaining the position of Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore we would pass them like Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Avina, Ilav da Rabbi Yochanan tznuim v'Rabbi Dosa amru davar achad, Avamina amantana tznuim v'Rabbi Dosi. Had it not been for the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said that tznuim v'Rabbi Dosi has said the same thing, I would have thought the author of the position of the tznuim is Rabbi Dosa himself. Keichi delo tikshe sta mishnah l'Rabbi Yochanan. Because we said before, the mishnah from Meisr Sheni, in the fifth parak and the first mishnah there of tznuim, that we said was a Stam Mishnah, that presented a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, who seems to say that Loch is Stam Mishnah, which is going against his position. So what we would have said is that the author of that Mishnah is Rabbi Dosa. Because once I do that, I've given attribution to the Mishnah. It's no longer a Stam Mishnah, it's a Dat Yachid. Since it's a Dat Yachid, Rabbi Yochanan Kestam Yachido Lo Amar. Rabbi Yochanan never said that Loch is like a Stam Mishnah when it's a Stam of a Yachidah, of an individual. Now the Baal HaTos vote over here argue and say that's not the case. You can look throughout Shas, and Rabbi Yochanan passes like a Stam Mishnah, even when it's a Dat Yachid sometimes. So what the Balei Tosfot say is that the Gemara here says, okay, in the end, we have two Stam Mishnahs. Those two Stam Mishnahs, we don't know which one to pick. This will help us out, because now we can say that this is a Stam Yechidah. This is a Stam Mishnah that is authored by a single position or individual, and because of that, it weakens its value as a Stam Mishnah. And so because of that, Rabbi Yochanan is going to paskin like the Stam Mishnah in Or Masechta of Gonev Min HaGanav, which corroborates his position that if it's Eino Shalo or Eino Bershuto, either one of those deficits would not allow you to then be Makdish the item. And he'll favor that Stam Mishnah, the halacha is like that, versus the Stam Mishnah in Meisr Sheni, which says the case of the Tznuim, which indicates that you can do it even though it's Eino Bershuto. Okay, we're going to stop here by the first line on the top of Ayin Omud Aleph.